It's time now to go beyond the headlines. And for the next 2 hours, go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This is the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
All right. I know it's a Friday. Jesse Tapia in for James Hamm. I know it's a Friday, but we got to have an adult conversation.
Already?
Yeah, we got to talk. We got to talk like adults.
All right.
We got to talk about Brock Purdy.
You're talking to me like I'm Will Levis.
You said what?
You said you're talking to me like I'm Will Levis.
Yeah, you're a grown man. You know what to do or what not to do.
Allegedly, that's what they say about us.
I'm going to be Brian Callahan today.
Yeah.
That's bad. I don't think he's a very good coach. We'll see. I'm not buying the Titans. What do you want? Anyways, we'll talk about that later. We got a ton of Week 3 NFL stuff coming up, of course, at 10:30. Fantasy Friday with Faraz Siddiqui. We are taking your fantasy football questions. It's a mess right now. There's so much going on. It's going to be super valuable to hear from Faraz today. We are answering your questions at youtube.com/ESPN1320 and twitch.tv/ESPN1320. Jump in there, send your questions, and we will ask them to our guy Faraz at 10:30. Faraz Siddiqui of Upper Hand Fantasy. But before we get to any of that, we need to have a real conversation about Brock Purdy.
Oh, we're really just starting off hot right now.
It's a Friday during the NFL season. We're throwing fastballs.
I got you.
You can do one of two things with Brock Purdy this week. And what you decide to do determines exactly where you fall on the Brock Purdy analysis spectrum. You can either call Brock Purdy a top five guy or top 10. We'll say top 10. You can either call Brock Purdy a top 10 guy or you can make excuses for him this week. You can say Brock Purdy is top 10. Okay, fine. Then the Niners need to go beat the hell out of the Rams this weekend. If Brock is a top 10 guy, that's exactly what will happen. George Kittle, unlikely to play. He's dealing with a hamstring injury. That cropped up yesterday. Or we became aware of it yesterday. It's unclear exactly when the hamstring injury cropped up. He was a full participant on Wednesday and then a non-participant yesterday. Doesn't look like he's going to play. That means no Debo, no George Kittle, no Christian McCaffrey. If Brock Purdy's a top 10 guy, the 49ers still have plenty. They still have Brandon Ayuk. They still have Juwan Jennings. Jordan Mason has been excellent. The offensive line is intact. That's plenty. Brock Purdy should go hang up a bunch of points on a Rams defense that is not very good. If you want to go, well, hey, he can't. He needs at least two All-Pros at the skill positions. He can't. Huh. He needs, and that's fine. If that's what you believe, if you believe that Brock Purdy can only operate at a high level, can only function at a high level with Brandon Ayuk and George Kittle and one of Debo Samuel or Christian McCaffrey, that's totally fine. I don't hate it. But if that's the case, then he, to me, is not a top 10 guy. Then he's that kind of middle of the road where Stephen Ruiz have him ranked like 16th.
Yeah, probably.
Then that's probably about where he is. If he's going to go continue to struggle when he's not surrounded by a bunch of all pros at the skill positions, then okay, yeah, he can function in the 49ers offense at a high level. Other than that, he's just kind of a middle of the road guy.
Yeah. And then we got Tyler Jennings in the chat. I don't think, says division games are always weird, though, Kyle putting on one game seems to. I don't think Kyle's putting on one game. I think it's the stretch of games, maybe without Debo and all that, too.
Yeah, 1,000%. Yeah. It goes back to the Vikings game is kind of where it starts because you're going, that was kind of odd. He had killed the teams every time he had played him a second time. He'd played better, and he was not great against the Vikings. Like, okay, but yeah, division games are weird, but the 49ers are way better than the Rams right now.
They're elite Super Bowl contender.
Yeah, right. So I'm not saying that they need to go hang up 50 points and win 50 to nothing, but if he goes out and struggles in this game, I'm going to have questions, and frankly, you should too.
Yeah.
If this is a top 10 guy, you don't, and this is the thing, is this to me is a compliment to Brock Purdy. There are expectations that come with playing at the level that he has played at. And that's kind of what this is to me. The expectation is, A, he's going to be their guy over the next 5 to 8 years, 5, 10 years, whatever it is. And this is kind of what a more normal NFL offense looks like.
Yeah, I don't think what you're saying is not fair to Brock Purdy either. Like, if he is this top 10 guy, like, you look at Josh Allen over in Buffalo, who's his number one receiver? Take your pick out of the three guys, Shakir, Coleman, or Curtis Samuel, whoever you want to take your pick out there. They're 2-0 right now.
Juwan Jennings would probably be the number one receiver on that team.
I don't think you're wrong.
lot of number twos and threes.
Either way, like I think Brock Purdy is a top 10 guy. So for me, if the 49ers, if they're without Debo the next two games or whatever, I think they're going to come out of it better than, let's say, going under 500 in this little stretch right here. Like, I think they'll be fine. But yeah, if Brock Purdy is who we say he is and all that, then the 49ers should be fine. You still have your number one receiver. You have a guy running for 100 yards per game. You're a top 10 quarterback. Defense is still really good. That's more than plenty other teams have in this league.
Yeah, and this is not, if the Niners offense is humming and their defense just can't get off the field on third down again and they go lose 28-24, that's not on the court.
Yeah.
This is about, and you're going to know it when you see it. Like, you'll know it during the game. If Brock Purdy's going to go out against this version of the Rams, and our division game's wonky 100%, Tyler Jennings is not wrong. Division games can get weird. But at the same time, I'm expecting Brock Purdy to go play well.
Mm-hmm.
If there's a throw that hits Brandon Ayuk in the chest and goes up in the air and gets intercepted and returned for a touchdown, and then there's a punt block returned for a touchdown, okay, yeah, weird stuff happens, no doubt. But you'll know when you're watching, either, man, Brock Purdy is just carrying these dudes right now. Okay, then that's what he's supposed to do. If he goes out and he struggles really bad and the Niners can't move the football and they're getting into third and long and he's not converting, I got questions.
And it's not that guys like CMC and Debo, it's just, oh, well, they're not there, it's not going to affect anything. No, it's just a top 10 quarterback can play through this.
Yeah, and that's that. Thank you. That's an important point here. This is not, oh, they need to go score 35 points to justify everything brought. No, that's not it, because their offense is just not going to be as good. That's just facts.
Mm-hmm.
But they should be fine.
Yeah.
There shouldn't be, man, they only hung up 17 points again, because that appears to be the magic number when the Niners have guys out. But, man, they hung up 17 points again. And, okay, yeah, Brock had a couple of good throws. But, boy, he really struggled. He was indecisive again. And that, to me, is now stacking that on top of last week. And stacking that on top of last year when Trent Williams and Debo Samuel were out. And I think Christian McCaffrey got banged up, too, against the Browns. But this is where, to me, over the next couple of games, we're going to find out exactly where Brock Purdy is. We've kept talking about, again, we go to the Stephen Ruiz rankings just because that's an easy catch-all. For people who think he's middle of the road, this is the scenario that they're putting him in. They're saying, yeah, on a normal NFL offense, what does he look like? And if he's a middle of the road guy, then I got long-term questions.
Yeah.
But my expectation is, now to bring this back to what I think is going to happen, I think he's going to be fine.
Yeah.
I'm a believer in what Brock Purdy has done and what he is doing. I expect him to go out and again, not hang up 35 points and throw for four touchdowns or anything crazy like that, but I expect there to be adjustments. I expect him to command the offense. I expect him to make it work with Juwan Jennings and Brandon Ayuk and Jacob Cowing and maybe some Ronnie Bell sprinkled in there. I fully expect him to make all of that work, because that's the expectation that he's kind of set. That's the level of play that he has reached over his first season and a half. Like, all right, now you got to go prove it in a regular NFL offense.
And you're not doing it against the Ravens or these top tier teams or whatever either. This next these games coming up, like the Rams are beat up, and I'm checking up who they got after that.
The Patriots.
They got the Patriots. The yeah, so the Cardinals are looking good. We'll see about them this week. They got the Lions this week and all that. But we saw what the Patriots were yesterday. We'll talk more about that in a little bit. But like, this isn't a murderer's row of teams coming up. Like,
no.
This should be easy for Brock Purdy to handle.
And this is where, so one of the things I go back to, I was thinking about this today, because it always goes back to the 2016 Falcons, right? That was the, like, Kyle Shanahan offense that put him on the map. It's why the 49ers hired him in 2017. That was the year that Matt Ryan won the MVP. Matt Ryan, 70% completions that year, almost 5,000 yards, 38 touchdowns, 7 picks, averaged 9.3 yards per attempt. It was just incredible, right? And the Falcons offense cooked all year. What'd they average? 34 points a game. And that's with Matt Ryan, who's a good player, but Hall of Famer? Probably not. Mm. Like, his numbers are, he has a lot of numbers. He accumulated a lot of numbers.
I would say if he won that Super Bowl, maybe.
Yeah, but I mean, Matt Ryan's fine.
Yeah, yeah.
Matt Ryan's a pretty good player, which is kind of where I have Brock Purdy. That year, okay, yeah, they had Julio Jones. Who do you think was second in receptions on that team? Julio Jones at 83. Who was second?
I mean, my mind immediately goes to Roddy White for some reason, but I don't know. Henry Douglas or something?
Roddy White was not there. Who'd you say? Harry Douglas?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just naming off Falcons receivers from my mind.
No, Harry Douglas also not there.
Yeah.
All those teams all bleed together to me.
Yeah.
Mohamed Sanu with 59 catches.
49ers great, right?
49ers legend, Mohamed Sanu. After that, it was the running back Devontae Freeman. And again, these are like okay players, but is Mohamed Sanu markedly better than Juwan Jennings?
They're the same player.
Mohamed Sanu might be a little bit better.
The same tier of player, though, I think.
His numbers are better, but because to me, that's more opportunity than anything. Devontae Freeman, pretty good player.
Yeah.
Better pass catcher than Jordan Mason, to be sure. But then it's like Taylor Gabriel and then Tevin Coleman and then Jacob Tammy was the number one tight end. Like, this is not... That was not a roster that you're looking and going, wow, that is just, oh.
Yeah, with the 49ers have on
two
offense.
Two Pro Bowlers.
With the 49ers have on offense when they're all healthy is just a luxury that they might only be the only team that has
it's
that.
It's the best Chiefs situation
even,
in the league.
The Chiefs don't even have that. They got Mahomes or whatever, but just everyone else does not.
The Chiefs, in the, frankly, the 2019 Chiefs didn't even have that.
Yeah.
Tyreek Hill is awesome. Travis Kelce is awesome. But then what was the dude's name? Damian Williams?
Yeah.
Was there running back in that game? Like, so, no, when this offense is right, I think they're going to cook.
Mm-hmm.
And if they're healthy by mid-October or the end of October, I think they're going to be fine. I think they're going to win a lot of games. They're going to make a deep playoff run. But to me, what this is about with Brock Purdy is about the next 5, 8, 10 years. And if you're not able in these next couple of games, if you're Brock Purdy, to figure it out and help raise the level that Juwan Jennings has played at, and get Eric Saubert or Jake Tungus, whoever's going to play tight end, getting them some targets, getting them involved, figuring out a way to get Jordan Mason the ball. And some of this is on Kyle Shanahan too, but the quarterback at some point has to go make plays if he's going to be that dude. Well, yeah, you're going to be a $60 million a year guy. You got to make plays.
That's it right there. There's the aspect. You're going to give him all that money next year. So it's kind of like, all right, show it.
Yeah.
Dak Prescott is the highest paid quarterback in the league right now. Dak Prescott is not the best quarterback, but it's like, all right, he's that good or whatever where you can justify that stuff. Mm-hmm. Now you're just looking for the same from Brock Purdy. But yeah, he's done it before, and I think he will do it going forward, but it's just more of the same.
It's prove it time for Brock Purdy. Mm-hmm. What do you need to see from Brock Purdy this week? 916-909-1320, 916-909-1320. That is the Elk Grove Kia talk line. Would love to hear from you. What is your expectation for Brock Purdy with no Debo Samuel, no Christian McCaffrey, and likely no George Kittle this week in L.A.? We'll get back to that game coming up. Well, let's talk more about it right now, actually. We're gonna just stick on Niners Rams. Niners got to have this one, right? Forget
absolutely,
the Brock Purdy thing
yes.
for a second. You got to get this one.
Like I said, Brandon Ayuk is still there. Top 10 wide receiver. I feel confident about that. Probably top 8, you can make the argument.
Sure.
Yeah. Jordan Mason tearing it up. Defense, yep. Fred Warner still there. Nick Bosa still there. Winnie Ward might not be there. But either way, you're a Super Bowl contender. You're still an elite team. You just have to win games like this. That's the expectation. And that's the standard.
My issue with this week, and Tyler Jennings, I'm going to keep going back to what he said because I think what he said is super important. Mm-hmm. And Tyler Jennings said this in the chatty house at youtube.com/ESPN1320. Salute to everybody watching on YouTube. Division games are weird. They can get weird.
Can confirm.
No doubt. Like, without question.
For some reason, the Dolphins beat Tom Brady in his heyday in Miami every time. Never made sense.
But if the 49ers go lose this game to the Rams, it gets really, really difficult to go, oh yeah, you feel great about them going in and beating New England, who we'll talk about in a minute. But you feel great about that. Oh man, now they got the Cardinals. Okay, you feel really good about that. All of a sudden, you're going, hey, can they beat anyone right now? What is this? What is this team that has now lost two in a row and they're super banged up and they're not going to be any healthier next week?
Mm.
That's the concern for me. And that's why you got to go get this one for the standings.
It just kind of sets the tone.
Yeah, dude, 1,000%. And if they go and on the flip side of that, if they go in and beat the hell out of the Rams with this version of their roster,
we're all good then.
I'm going to be extremely impressed. So it goes both ways. You just got to have this one.
Yeah.
If it's ugly, it's ugly. You got to come out of there with a W.
That's all that matters.
That's it. Yeah, no doubt.
Because like Tyler Jones, it's weird and all that, but the Rams are down their entire offense, it feels.
They have 6 dudes on IR who are supposed to come back at some point.
Yeah. And maybe
you have a maximum of 8 for the year.
And maybe DeMarcus Robinson can be that guy. He's probably not going to.
Yeah. Tutu Atwell and
there's no excuses for the 49ers.
Jordan Whittington or whatever his name is. Colby Parkinson, tight end.
Sounds like a kicker's name.
It does. That's big kicker energy.
Sounds
for
like
sure.
A Tampa Bay Buccaneers kicker.
Hella specific. Yeah. That's 49ers-Rams. We'll talk more about that coming up in a bit. Niners got to have that one. But the Rams got to have it too.
Yeah. Rams are low-key playing for their season.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe not low-key.
Trying to stay alive.
High-key.
High key. Yeah. Very, very high-key. The Raiders open their home schedule this week against the Carolina Panthers. Here's where I'm at with the Raiders this week. However this game goes is going to set the tone for the rest of their year. If they beat the hell out of the Panthers, I'm going to feel super justified from before the year going, I think they're going to be in the playoff hunt. I think they're going to stick around. Maybe they don't make it. Maybe they finish 9-8, and that's just not quite enough to get there, but I think they're going to be in the hunt. I think they're going to be a factor. If they beat the hell out of the Panthers, I'm going to feel great about that.
This is low-key like a mystery door type game. Follow me here. It's kind of like, all right, Raiders, there's one door right here, and it's like, just you walk through and you'll be a legit team. Just beat the Panthers. That's all you have to do.
Beat the heck out of them.
Yes, just be a normal NFL team. Mm-hmm. And just walk through this door. Or it's the mystery door. And you can just kind of be with the Raiders have been. It's like, huh, maybe Andy Dalton kind of tears it up a bit. Maybe Gardner Minshew's not playing too well. Hey, maybe we kind of see this door looks a little fun.
Yeah.
Just be normal this one time.
Just walk through the normal door.
Yes, that's it.
If they lose,
so we could talk nice about you on Monday.
That's it, dude. If they sneak by with a win, they're like, oh, they won 21-20. And there was a weird thing that happened at the end of the game. I'm not going to feel great.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, man. Like, that feels like a... But I'm expecting them, based on what we saw last week, I'm expecting them to understand that this is a, like, momentum-seizing moment.
Mm-hmm.
You can put yourself in a spot where you go beat Carolina by 20 and you just handle business, control the whole game, be the way better team, and put yourself in that echelon of, yeah, hey, you know what? No chance. They are way better than the Panthers. Panthers way down here, Raiders way up here. That's what I think is at stake this weekend, and I think it'll define the rest of their season.
Yeah, the Raiders aren't the 49ers, but the Panthers also aren't the Rams, if that makes sense. Like, the Raiders are that much better than the Panthers. Like, this is a game
they
where...
They are that much better?
They are. Yeah. Like, your running back situation isn't great, but what you have, like, you should still handle business against Carolina. Carolina's just a mess now, and I don't even think they know what they want to do at this point.
Andy Dalton makes them a little more dangerous, for sure. But they are so... Their roster is bad.
I think it's the idea of Andy Dalton.
Well, it's also... I think it's the idea of Andy Dalton, sure. But it's also the bar was so low for quarterback play that... The floor that Andy Dalton sets is just so much higher than the ceiling they had.
We'll be impressed if Andy Dalton throws for 200 yards this week.
Would I be?
No, I think we will be. He throws for 200 yards and a touchdown or whatever. Like, wow, he actually did something this week.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think 200 is a good number. It's because it's Deontay Johnson and...
Adam Thielen.
Oof.
I saw they had Adam Thielen run jet sweeps in practice today.
Get out.
Yeah. Andy Dalton catches it, drops it, Adam Thielen. Takes off.
Stop.
Better watch out, Raiders. No, that's a really... Yeah,
Max Crosby's going to light it up this week, dude. Max Crosby's about to
throw him over. Throw him over his shoulder.
The Panthers are averaging 13 points a game, and they're giving up 36.5 points per game.
Do they reach 17 this week?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
No, I don't think so. Who's their leading... I'm going to... Hang on. I'm doing a deep dive on the Panthers right now. This is...
The way I see this game going right now...
Hey, do you know who their leading receiver is right now?
It's got to be... It's not... I don't know. Like,
it's Deontay Johnson.
Okay.
Deontay Johnson.
I feel like the easy answer, but...
5 catches for 34 yards.
All right.
Adam Thielen also... I'm sorry. Adam Thielen also 5 catches for 69 yards. And then you have 4 catches for 12 yards for Chuba Hubbard. 4 for 35 for Xavier Leggett. Their rookie wide receiver.
Can you imagine being a Panthers fan?
No.
Like, just watching this?
Oh, Jonathan Mingo, of course. 3 for 41. Yeah, why not?
How do we miss?
They've yet to have a passing touchdown. Their one rushing touchdown came from Bryce Young.
Here we go, Rook. Second-year player, I mean.
They're going to have no players playing in the game on Sunday who have scored a touchdown this year.
Someone's got to do it. Someone's due.
Yikes, dude.
What happens this week? What's more likely? The Panthers get an offensive touchdown or the Raiders score a defensive touchdown?
Oh, man.
Because I'm leaning towards the Raiders scoring a defensive touchdown on this one.
Yeah, dude. There are so many things that can get sideways for the Panthers. But an offensive touchdown, like...
We just read the stats, bro. No one has more than 70 yards receiving. Your only rushing touchdown.
The only rushing touchdown is from
the guy on the bench has the only rushing touchdown.
Raiders up 27-3 late in the game. Panthers just cruise down the field and get a touchdown?
I can't, like, if I can't, no, I'm not going to give you that. Is there any
I'm giving the Panthers offense a BOD here.
All right, you're going to go with that
I'm
one?
I'm giving it to him.
All right, I'm going to go with the Raiders on this one.
I'm going to be so mad if you're right.
We'll check back.
I'm watching so intently just for this.
Is there any point in this game where the Raiders are beating the Panthers so badly that Bryce Young comes back in to finish out the game?
No.
No? You think anyone plays no matter what?
Yeah. Yeah, I think Bryce Young's in that, like, Zach Wilson stage.
Does he get emergency QB?
Yeah, probably. Ooh. Tough. No, maybe not. That's a lot. Emergency QBing a guy is
a lot. That's the thing. If you're going to sit him, like, how are we doing this? Are we going 100% or what's going on?
They don't even have a third quarterback, so.
Okay.
Jake Luton, Oregon State legend, is their third quarterback.
I think
he's on
IR. All right. Sorry, Jake Luton. Feel better.
So, yeah, Bryce Young won't. I don't think he gets emergency QB'd.
It's going to be a fun game just because there's so much, like, we're just scared of the Raiders and their past. That's all it is at this point. Like,
they should win this game easily. They should. And the thing that's difficult is they've not done enough to get the benefit of the doubt from it. It's a little bit kind of where the Kings were going into last year.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, yeah, you can feel good about it, but you can't pencil them in because the track record's not there yet. So that's where I'm at with the Raiders. I got to see it first.
This would be a start, though.
Definitely. Definitely. I do think they win. I do think they handle business. I think week one was a little bit of a, what's the word I'm looking for? Like an outlier. Like week one was an outlier. I think
we could week two week got him back on track. Preseason this, preseason that for them.
Yeah, I think week two got him back on track. I feel good about him. Feel good about the Raiders this week. We'll get more into that later. Again, we're going to run through all the week three games because there's a chance for some teams to make some statements. We'll do that coming up in a bit. I think the season officially began last night, though. The Jets-Pats game went how you would imagine a Jets-Pats game is supposed to go.
That's fair, and I agree with that.
The Jets are supposed to be the way better team, and they just were that entire game.
Yeah, because we went into this game, too, like, oh, the Patriots, like, they kind of look kind of frisky or whatever the first 2 weeks. Maybe they got some, maybe they don't, and now coming out of the game, it's like, all right, now we know who they are.
Zero frisk.
Mm-hmm.
Not a single frisk.
Nope.
From the Patriots last night.
Nope, we know exactly who they are. And the Jets, they took care of business. I'm not going to as overreactive as everyone else, I think, has been with them coming out of that game. But they looked like they were supposed to.
That's it. They looked so much better than they had the first couple of weeks on both sides of the ball. They were playing their third game in 11 days. They're playing a Patriots team that you and I both went. We talked about, like, man, is this going to be a good game?
Yeah, yeah.
It feels like, and it wasn't.
Yeah.
It was the Jets just washing a bad team.
I thought maybe we were going into, maybe it'd be like 17-13, something close, defensive game, ugly or whatever. It would be close. Yeah, no, wasn't that at all.
Not even a little bit. Jacoby Brissett, 12 of 18 for 98 yards. He got benched. Drake May came in at the end of the game, goes 4 for 8 for 22 yards. Aaron Rodgers, 27 of 35, 281 and a couple of touchdowns. That's, I think, when the Jets looked at this year, I think this is what they envisioned, and this is more what I think they're going to look like moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they're going to win 13 games, but I think they're better than they were the first couple of weeks, and I think the Patriots are worse than they were the first couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Maybe it's just because they confirmed my priors, but...
Well, it's like you said, it looked normal, I guess. It looked like kind of what you would expect.
Yeah.
Like, the Jets didn't do anything like out of the ordinary. They just played good football and ran the football. Breece Hall was fine, was great and all that. Aaron Rodgers spread the ball amongst his receivers and all that. The defense shut down the offense. It was a clean football game from the Jets.
Yeah, so that's what that was the official start of the year for me, where, okay, all that preseason stuff, like the Jets figured out who they are, and the Patriots kind of fell back into what we thought they would be. And again, maybe this is just because they're confirming my priors. Maybe I'm wrong. But that game last night is why I look at a team like the 49ers going into this week. And I go, hey, that week two was ugly. You can chalk it up to the short week. You can chalk it up to the lack of preseason reps, whatever. But now you got to get going.
Yeah.
That's only an excuse for so long. Because at some point, if you start stacking losses, you don't get to go, well, hey, those don't count. Like, they do.
Uh-huh.
They all count. Which is why you got to go get this one. I think you're going to see teams start ratcheting it up this week. And I think that's what we saw last night. Do the Patriots have to play Drake May moving forward now?
Nope. Do not. Nope. Emergency QB, that guy. All right. Emergency QB, him. Don't even let him be the backup. No, it's not even because of Drake May. Save that man's life.
The Patriots offensive line is so bad.
I felt so bad for him.
They have no shot. Their quarterback.
Yeah. Like, Jacoby, I'm sorry. You're just going to have to take these hits from the defensive line, and that's just it at this point. Like, sorry, you're the sacrifice.
This is exactly what I was talking about with Caleb Williams yesterday. Mm-hmm. You can't just go, okay, yeah, Drake May, go play now. Go be successful behind that. Because we can sit here and we can talk about, oh, Brock Purdy's down, this player and that player. At least the 49ers have a really capable offense.
Yeah.
The Patriots have none of that.
Mm-mm.
You drop any quarterback into the Pat situation, and you're going to have a mess.
Yeah, Drake May does not need to play at all this year.
No. Not even a little bit.
Uh-uh.
Maybe week 18.
Yeah, week 18 is like, oh,
roll
yeah.
Roll them out there. Give them,
plans
give them a little
playoffs,
taste.
Season's
of,
over.
Give them a taste of what it's like to start and how you prepare during the week, what mm-hmm. it's like on game day. Give them a taste of that. Treat week 18 as a preseason game.
Yes.
Ostensibly.
But other than that, we're protecting Drake May the rest of the season.
You have to.
Yeah.
Anyways. I think that's the move with young quarterbacks. I don't think it's a layup that, like, yeah, if he sits a year, you're automatically going to be good. No, but I think it gives him a better shot.
I'm pro starting the rookie quarterback week one or whatever if you've got a decent offensive line to protect him.
That's where it's got to start.
Uh-huh.
If he's getting to sit back and stand in the pocket and he's throwing to receivers who aren't getting open, okay, that's one thing.
Yeah.
But if he's getting hit every play and he's learning to bail from the pocket and not standing, then you're developing bad habits. Anyways. I think we're going to start seeing teams build differently. Or
it's becoming more of a conversation now.
Yeah, or not prioritize playing their rookie quarterback right away. I think that's going to kind of be the fallout of this year.
I want to agree with you, but it's also like, I think we'll still see number one. Everyone's going to be looking for CJ Stroud now.
Yeah, but if you have Bryce Young getting benched, and if Caleb Williams winds up struggling the entire year, mm-hmm. and Drake May, when he does play, winds up struggling, I think you're going to see teams realize that it's not either not worth it to start him or B, forget everything else. Spend your money on offensive line.
Yeah, you develop the roster a different way.
Yeah.
I could see that.
Yeah, that's what I think the fallout of this year is going to be. All right, we got to talk fantasy football. Firas Siddiqui of Upper Hand Fantasy going to join us next, answering all of your fantasy football questions. There's so much going on in the NFL, and my favorite thing about Firas is that it's not like it's a fantasy football segment for sure, but it's just a football segment. That's what we're doing. We're talking NFL with Firas Siddiqui. It's always a ton of fun, so hope you hang out for that. We've got some week three action to get through. We've got mad props, and the 49ers need a new running back. I teased that yesterday. We'll get to that today as well. Plenty to cover in the next couple hours. Jesse Tapia is in for James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen on ESPN 1320 at Sacramento Sports Center.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen.
No,
brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Jesse Tapia in for James Hamm. We have an intro without names, and I always forget to hit it.
It's all right, bro.
It's my bad.
We'll get in the next break.
Jesse Tapia in for James Hamm. Firas Siddiqui is here. It's a Fantasy Friday. Firas joins us every Friday at 10:30. That is Firas Siddiqui, Upper Hand Fantasy. UpperHandFantasy.com is the website. There is so much great info there. Highly encourage you to go there and, of course, follow them on Instagram at Upper Hand Fantasy. And, of course, listen to them here because we've got them every single Friday. Firas, what's going on, man?
What's up? You guys facing any injury issues going into week three?
Exclusively.
You know what I mean? It's just exclusively.
I'm lobbying for more IR spots.
Seriously.
In various leagues.
You know, in our home league, we only have one, and I'm the commissioner. And I'm like, who decided on only one IR slot? Like, what is this? This is absolutely ridiculous.
You got to change that mid-season. You got to help people out. Go to two IR spots mid-season. usually we have our own questions, and then we'll turn it over to our listener questions, which you can get in at youtube.com/ESPN1320 and twitch.tv/ESPN1320. But there are so many injury things going on that we're going to roll through a bunch of our own questions first. And hopefully answer some of the questions that people already have. So we were talking about this before the segment began. I feel extremely fortunate to have landed Juwan Jennings off of waivers in one of my leagues.
I picked him up this week, too.
Is he worth a start this week? Especially now we've known Christian McCaffrey is going to be out. We found out Monday Deebo Samuel is going to be out. And then we find out yesterday that George Kittle's got a hamstring thing that cropped up. And he may be out. Is Juwan Jennings worth a start this week?
You know, it's tricky. I would say yes, because who are they going to who else are they going to throw the ball to? Now, Ayuk is absolutely going to get a ridiculous amount of targets this week, and the Rams have been so vulnerable to perimeter wide receivers. Jennings has been primarily playing out of the slot. I can see him playing on the outside just a little bit more, maybe, right? You know, we can see some extra opportunity for him. But here's the thing. The Rams have allowed the least amount of fantasy points to slot receivers over the first 2 weeks of the season. Not what you want to hear. But at the end of the day, me personally, I take opportunity that, you know, that weighs itself a lot more than what those individual matchups look like. So, yeah, I think Jennings is, I would say, maybe a flex PPR flex play, I would say, if I had to categorize it in 12-team leagues.
Great.
Sticking with injuries and all that, with two out this week, would you do you think Tyreek Hill or Jalen Waddle is the better play for my Miami receivers?
You know, Tyreek Hill is just, I mean, both these guys can take any play to the house, right? But I think Tyreek Hill is probably going to be the guy you want to start. When we've seen Skylar Thompson with, you know, as their quarterback, Tyreek Hill has been solid, 15 fantasy points a game. So, you know, if you tell me a receiver is going to give me 15 fantasy points per game, I'll take it all day. The problem is that we just know what Tyreek's ceiling is. So we're not super happy with that. Waddle's is around 10 fantasy points per game without Tua. So, yeah, definitely Tyreek, 100%. I don't have him in my top 10, though, this week, unfortunately. But, you know, he could definitely creep up in there with a good performance.
Faraz Siddiqui, Upper Hand Fantasy, joining us for a Fantasy Friday. If you want to get your questions in, youtube.com/ESPN1320 and twitch.tv/ESPN1320. Also, we're going to try this today. We're going to try the Elk Grove Kia talk line, 916-909-1320, 916-909-1320. If you have a question for Faraz, I think I can get you up on the phone where Faraz can hear you and you can hear
me.
We can do I'm going to try that this week. Not injury related, but wide receiver related still. A bunch of wide receiver questions this week. The Carolina Panthers, we were just talking about how their leading receiver is Adam Thielen with 5 catches for 69 yards. Deontay Johnson's at 5 for 34. Does Andy Dalton's insertion into the starting lineup change your outlook on either of those guys or anybody on the Panthers?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, Bryce Young was absolutely, you know, it didn't look good, man. It was
dreadful.
Bad. And, you know, I think Deontay Johnson is startable now. I think Adam Thielen, if you're desperate enough, he's startable. Sneaky PPR play. The Raiders, they've given up the 5th most fantasy points to slot receivers over the last 2 weeks. The last time that Andy Dalton was the quarterback, he had one game last year as their quarterback. And Adam Thielen had 11 catches for 145 yards and a touchdown. DJ Shark had 4 catches for 86 yards and a touchdown. Okay, that's in the same game. He had one opportunity. So that tells you what you need to know.
Wow.
This is he's going to salvage. Now, I'm not saying this is going to become one of the best offenses in the league, but it's going to be an offense that we can actually start a fantasy player from. Whereas if, you know, going into week 2, you stayed away. And now Jonathan Brooks, with him coming back now, you're a little bit more excited that this is going to be an offense that is NFL level, NFL caliber.
Man.
All right, Frost, I'm not going to lie. I'm freaking out a little bit. You're the Jets guy. I need you to help me out with Garrett Wilson. Is he going to be all right? Like, can I trust him still? Do I trade him? What do I do at this point?
I know. It's been rough. I totally understand. You know, here's the thing. Him and Rodgers have had 3 games together. That's it, right? And it's going to take a little bit of time. And you can see, you watched the game yesterday. You know, there were some plays where he was getting open, but they were just not on the same page, right? You know, that play down the right sideline where, you know, he beat his guy, but then he couldn't really – he couldn't make it into the end zone. They couldn't connect in that play. That would have been a touchdown. Well, it wouldn't have been because it was a penalty. But, you know, it's going to come. And 26% target share still last night. He still led them in targets. 29% target share on the year. This is elite target share, right? This is elite usage. And it's going to come. So if I have Garrett Wilson, I'm holding. If I need a wide receiver, I'm trying to buy Garrett Wilson right now. And I hate to say this for people who drafted Garrett Wilson at the 1-2 turn, early second round. You know, they want more, and I totally understand that. And I do think it's coming, though. I think you just have to be a little bit more patient. I know it's not what you want to hear, but it's the truth.
It's all good, Faraz. If you say it, I'll stick with it.
You got to write it out.
Yeah.
Faraz Siddiqui, Upper Hand Fantasy, joining us now. UpperHandFantasy.com is the website.
Real quick, let me stick with the Jets one more time.
Please.
Their backup, Braylon Allen, seems like they've been getting him involved a little bit more the last couple of weeks. Do you think he's worth a waiver wire pickup?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, we saw 2 weeks in a row now. One in more of a, you know, the Jets and Titans, it was a pretty close game last week, right? And Braylon Allen was involved. And then this week, the Jets kind of went up early. They knew that they were going to have to run the ball a lot. They involved Braylon Allen from the get. And I think that was a smart thing to do because, you know, do you really want, like, I know for fantasy touches are everything, volume is everything, but like, you don't really want your top back getting hurt, right? Like, with all the injuries, like, this is like kind of what you want, right? Like, you know, you saw Joe Mixon get like 30 carries or whatever it was in week one, and then now he's not even going to play this week, right? And so, by the way, pick up Cam Akers. But, you know, it's just one of those things that you kind of like it. With Breece Hall, 15 carries, you know, ish, like that's kind of what he's averaging. And then on top of that, he's averaging like six targets in the receiving game. That's what you want, right? So that is good enough for high-end RB1 volume. And then, like you said, Braylon Allen, solid waiver wire pickup. He's not like a, you know, he's somebody that you can plug in if you're relatively desperate, but he's looking pretty good behind Breece Hall.
For us, Adiki, Upper Hand Fantasy, the Upper Hand Fantasy podcast, you can get it wherever you get your podcast, and of course, upperhandfantasy.com is the website. You just talked a little bit about the Texans' backfield. No Joe Mixon this week. You said to pick up Cam Akers. I want to take a look at another AFC contender and talk about the Chiefs real quick. What the hell are you doing with their backfield?
Oh, I don't know.
Perfect.
I have no idea.
Jesse, over to you.
No,
I got Kareem Hunt snatched on my bench.
Yeah, it's like, listen, you have a piece on your bench, and then like you just root for that player, right? That's really what it comes down to. Now, listen, my gut tells me that Samaje Perine is going to be the guy at some point. But is there going to be like a guy, right? I don't think so. I think this week is possible that Carson Steele ends up being the early down back. He ends up being the goal line guy if they end up going there. But Samaje, he's had some opportunities in his career where he had to like take on a little bit of work, and he's performed when he's been called upon. Mm-hmm. And he's the receiving back, right? Because they had Isaiah Pacheco, that's kind of why they were, I feel like that's why they were okay running the ball as much as they did when they had Patrick Mahomes. Now, like, do we really think that they're going to rely on like Carson Steele to run the ball, Kareem Hunt to run the ball? You know what I mean? This is going to be a more pass first offense, I think, moving forward. Not that it already wasn't, but I think they're just going to lean more in that direction. And that's why I kind of lean towards Samaje Perine, because he's the guy who's going to be running the most routes. The way I want to kind of the comparison here would be Jerick McKinnon. Remember a couple years ago, Jerick McKinnon, and you know, 49ers fans, they know what I'm talking about here with McKinnon. He's a passing down back, and he was like the guy like in fantasy that you wanted in the home stretch, right, for KC a couple years ago. Now Samaje Perine, in terms of the receiving game, very very efficient last year, so we could see some similar usage when it comes to Samaje Perine. That's kind of what I'm thinking, but who knows?
The Saints have been tearing it up the first couple of weeks and all that. Who do you think plays sustainable, and who do you think might take a little bit of a dip? Like Rashid Shaheed, he doesn't get like the most targets or whatever, but he's been tearing it up. Kamara seems like he has a resurgence. And Derek Carr is always hit or miss over the years, I feel. So like, who do you think is sustainable there?
You know what, man? I think it's all sustainable. I'm not going to lie. The way that this OC has come in and changed everything up there, they're running almost, you know, the high, like top level, you know, motion, pre-snap motion, right? They're doing a ton of play action. Like, this is exactly what you want to see. And Derek Carr is looking super comfortable in this scheme. Chris Olave, 40% target share last week. He comes down, you know, with that nice catch on the right sideline in the corner, right next to the pylon. He doesn't get in. He's at the 1 yard line. He could have scored in that play. We would have been thinking completely different with him. So I'm buying him low wherever I can, because Philly has been terrible against wide receivers. And for fantasy, they've been giving up a ton of fantasy points, right? So you want to buy him before Sunday. I think they play on Sunday. Because I know there's two games on Monday, and now I'm just totally confused. So because now instead of one game on Monday, it's two games. So now I have no idea when anybody plays.
The Chiefs are Sunday night. Sorry. Go ahead. Sorry. Keep going.
Yeah, there you go. 25% target share for Rashid Shaheed through two games. I know he looks like a big play merchant right now, but they're using him differently. They're using him on crossing routes. They're using him not just as a deep threat. Obviously, you know, that's a big part of his game, and he's becoming one of the best deep threats in the league. But I think they're using him, you know, very differently. So I think both him and Olave in this, you know, Kubiak scheme, I think they can both eat here. So I'm not selling either of these guys. I'm buying. And because of this new scheme in New Orleans, like, I'm very excited, to be honest.
Let's get to some listener questions here. We got a ton of them stacked up, and that makes sense with all the injury stuff going on around the league this year. Johnny G asks, in his flex spot, Quentin Johnston, DeMarcus Robinson, or Xavier Worthy?
Oh man, this is rough. I want to lean Xavier Worthy here because of one of the, you know, some of the reasons I mentioned earlier. Here's the thing. Xavier Worthy straight up boom bust, right?
Yeah.
But DeMarcus Robinson, I would say, like, if you just want some points, I think DeMarcus Robinson is probably the move. But, like, well, he might get you, like, 6-7 points, 8 points, whatever it is. Xavier Worthy is probably the play for me, you know? Travis Kelce hasn't shown much. You know, this might be a little bit of a competitive game, according to Vegas, you know, with Atlanta. So, Xavier Worthy, man. He's not getting a whole lot of opportunity right now. There's no doubt about it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think as they kind of, have him get used to the game and have him, you know, move into more opportune situations against these defenses, I think Xavier Worthy will start to pop off. I don't love Quentin Johnson's matchup this week, specifically on the left perimeter this week. So I don't love him. If I'm going to start any Chargers wide receivers, probably McConkey out of the slot. So yeah, I think I'm leaning Worthy here. It's close though.
Let me get boss Matt Charles in his question so we don't get fired. He wants to know, does he go Samaje Perine or Tyler Lockett this week for his flex?
Ooh, that's close, man. I'm probably leaning Lockett, to be honest. I just don't know what to expect from Perine. I know Lockett was like kind of shut out of that target, you know, distribution last week, but he was pretty good in week one. So he's not, it's not that he hasn't retired just yet. So I'm leaning Lockett because I know what his role is.
Got a trade question in a dynasty, league. Would you trade Jalen Waddle for Drake London?
Ooh, I like this one. I would say no. I have Jalen Waddle higher in my dynasty rankings than Drake London. So, stick with Waddle, man. Like, you know, he's in a great scheme. He's a great player. Right now, both of these guys don't have the best situations.
Mm-hmm.
But Jalen Waddle's gonna have a much better situation, you know, when Tua is back. So I'm gonna stick with Waddle here.
We got PW916 in the chat. Brian Thomas or Michael Pittman? And I got one more for you after that.
Oh my goodness. I'm going Brian Thomas. Michael Pittman didn't practice today for some reason. He's nursing some injuries. So keep an eye out on that. But Brian Thomas Jr. is probably my play here. Even though the Bills do play a lot of, you know, cover two and, you know, two high looks and all that, the conversation that we've had all week long. But Brian Thomas Jr. is probably my play.
And then we got Sword in the chat. Is it just time to give up on Christian Kirk at this point?
I guess. Honestly, like the fact that Evan Engram was out last week and they still couldn't get Christian Kirk the ball is absolutely crazy to me, man. He's sitting on my bench. I don't think I could drop him just yet after just 2 weeks, but I don't think I can start him right now.
I dropped him. Yeah. Get him out of my face.
I've heard you're not the biggest Christian Kirk
I'm
guy.
I'm out on Christian Kirk. Have been for a while. That's not exclusive to this year. It's not because he auto-drafted when I was trying to pick up Jaden Reed. That's fine.
Oh, no.
Look, just tough look for your boy. Loki
Trickster. I think about the plus-minus on that one.
Yeah, it's not going to be. I don't want to, actually.
Christian Kirk and Jaden Reed.
It's going to drive me to drink. It's fine. Loki Trickster needs to replace Debo in his starting lineup. Does he go T. Higgins, who's back in practice, or does he go with DeMarcus Robinson?
Listen. T. Higgins is going up against the Commanders. You got to start him. Even if he runs one route in that game, start him. It's going to be a touchdown.
Might be a long touchdown.
You know.
There it is. T. Higgins. You got it.
Yeah, T. Higgins.
Yeah, Cowboys haven't looked good. I think this one's an easy one. But do you go Dak Prescott or Derek Carr this week?
You know, I actually had Derek Carr higher in my rankings. And I moved. I have Carr higher in my rankings. I moved Dak above him this morning. And it's because I looked more into the matchup. You know, the Ravens have allowed the most passing yards of any team in the NFL through 2 weeks.
Hmm.
And that's their calling card. That's Dallas's calling card. So this is going to be a high scoring game. I think the Ravens run the ball on Dallas and then Dallas throws it against the Ravens. I think I'm leaning Dak here just by a hair.
For us, Siddiqui Upper Hand Fantasy joining us now. It's a Odyssey podcast. Get it wherever you get your pods. Back to Soren. Are you going to sell high on Tony Pollard?
I am. Actually, I am going to sell high. And the reason for that is because Tajay Spears, you know, you kind of look at the fantasy points in the game log, and it's looking pretty good for Pollard, right? Week one, Pollard got, you know, legit volume. Week two, mm-hmm. he got legit volume. But week two, they were kind of putting Tajay Spears into the rotation a little bit to start. And it was a pretty much an even split, you know, in the first quarter. But then Spears hurt. And then when you're looking at the box score, it looks like Tony Pollard got all the work again. But Spears is back in practice now. So if you can get like a Brian Robinson or another RB2 who's more sustainable moving forward, I would definitely, you know, consider trading Pollard for sure.
Right on.
Jameson Williams or DJ Moore this week?
Jameson Williams. Give me the guy who's on a good offense and a functioning offense. The Lions have the highest projected total, the highest implied total for the week. So I'm going Jameson.
Super flex option, Malik Willis or Will Levis. Hell yeah.
Good luck, Adam.
I love it. I'm going Levis here. You think of like a poor man's Jameis Winston, right? Yeah, that's kind of what I'm going with. I think Ridley has a decent matchup this week. So I'm going Levis, man. You just live and die with the mistakes.
Yikes.
All right, are we going Juwan Jennings, Jalen Warren, or DeMarcus Robinson in a flex spot?
I think I'm leaning Juwan Jennings here by a hair. Yeah. He's probably going to get the most opportunity out of any of these guys.
Great.
Listen, you know, I like DeMarcus Robinson this week, but Jordy Whittington is my little sleeper of the week. You know, Jordy Whittington, slot receiver for the Rams going into this week.
He's he is 1,000% going to have like 9 catches for 150 yards. That's a thing that's going
I'm
to
feeling
happen.
It, man. I'm feeling it.
I'm already annoyed by it. West Sac Kings fan needs some sleeper options at tight end. Looks like he's streaming tight ends. And
I don't have any. Like, who do you think I am? Like, there's no tight end sleepers. Like, you can't even get the top tight ends to perform, let alone like the bottom of the list. Oh, I know. Tyler Conklin. Oh wait, he played last night, so I guess you can't play him. Listen, man, if you're looking on waivers right now on a Friday before the weekend to play, geez Louise, man.
That's on you. Kobe, it's Parkinson, a you problem. Maybe.
Brenton Strange, right? He got some opportunity, you know, with Evan Ingram out, and he's looking like he's going to be out again this week. Let's see. That's about it, man. I can't help you, man. I really can't. Maybe Tucker Kraft potentially, but that's really it, man. I don't know what to tell you.
Brenton Strange, Penn State legend, I think.
Zero.
That's good knowledge right there. I didn't even know that. Yeah. You could be making that up. For flex spot right here, you're going to go Terry McLaurin, Jerome Ford, or Ladd McConkey?
Oof.
I think I'm going to go Terry. I'm going to go Terry by a hair. It stinks all the way around, though.
We've got a bunch of these. I want to try and rapid fire through some of these as we talk with Ferocity, okay. The Upper Hand Fantasy at upperhandfantasy.com. Subscribe to the podcast wherever you get your pods. Goff or Caleb Williams?
Goff.
Yeah. Baker Mayfield or Anthony Richardson? Zabo's picking Baker regardless, so never mind.
Anthony Richardson.
Kenneth Walker, Amari Cooper, or Juwan Jennings?
It does not look like Walker's going to play, so I'm going to Amari Cooper.
All right, very good. And then let's do Mike Evans or Chris Olave.
I'm actually going to Olave this week. Tough matchup against Sertan.
Got a lot of got a bunch of wide receiver questions. Sorry, Jesse. Jameson Williams or DJ Moore?
Jameson Williams.
All right, very good. Rashid Shaheed or Drake London?
Believe it or not, I'm going Rashid Shaheed.
Terry McLaurin or DeMarcus I'm assuming that's DeMarcus Robinson?
Yeah. Let's assume
Brian
that.
Robinson?
I'm going to go McLaurin. I'm going to go McLaurin. If it's Brian Robinson, go Brian Robinson. Otherwise, McLaurin.
If it's any other Robinson, it's going to be McLaurin. And then a full flex spot in a full PPR league, you going Zay Flowers or Tony Pollard?
I'll go Zay. Zay Flowers.
Hell yeah. Love that. Jets look good last night, man.
I'm so, so happy.
I feel like that's how they were supposed to look.
In week one?
Yeah, well, yeah, this season.
This season, yeah, yeah. I mean, like, the defense, see, here's the thing. And Rodgers said it, right? He's, like, we figured out what he said when Robert Saleh was trying to give him a hug, right? Mm-hmm. He said that, two-score lead, right? And that's the formula, right? Like, be able to score enough points on offense and then have this defense close it out. And that's what we're hoping for, man, the rest of the season. Fingers crossed. It's looking okay right now.
What do you think their ceiling is this season?
Super Bowl win.
Wow.
I think so.
Wow. Hey, this is a selfish one. Calvin Ridley or Juwan Jennings?
Calvin Ridley.
All right. I benched him last week because I was sick of him. And then he blows up for a couple of touchdowns.
Wait, who were you sick of? Who were you sick of before? Christian Kirk?
Christian Kirk.
All right, I got to get him in my lineup.
Oh, wow. I might have to start him this week, too. Faraz, really appreciate the time. As always, we'll talk to you next Friday. Upperhandfantasy.com. That's the website, Upperhand Fantasy on Instagram. And of course, subscribe to the pod wherever you get your podcasts. And then you can listen to them here every Friday at 10:30.
I appreciate you guys. Thanks a lot.
Appreciate you. Have a good weekend. Thanks for us. We'll see you. Good for Faraz, man.
Shout out Faraz. I'm legit freaking out about Garrett Wilson, though.
Why?
Because I have him, and it's just like yesterday, like, all right, he'll tear it up. It's week three. It was the whole season starts today. He'll tear it up. Yeah. Like, he got his touchdown. It's kind of like, all right, we barely got by there.
Christian Gonzalez is a really good player.
That's true. I was kind of telling myself that, too.
Yeah, I'm still in on Garrett Wilson. Yeah. I think he's just a really, really good player. And like, I'm out on Christian Kirk because I don't think Christian Kirk is that good.
Christian Kirk... He hit his peak already as a wide receiver.
Yeah, that's it. I think if he gets better, his ceiling is not super high. If Garrett Wilson, if I punt on Christian Kirk and he winds up being the best version of Christian Kirk, uh-huh. I'm gonna go, well, what are you gonna do? You know,
the best version of Christian Kirk, like in the NFL, is a wide receiver too.
Yeah,
the best.
Right.
Fantasy football. Yeah, he's gonna 10 points a game.
Catch 4 or 5 touchdowns. It might have a 100-yard game in there, depending, but nothing like crazy. Nothing that's irreplaceable.
Yeah.
If you punt on Garrett Wilson, you might be punting on a guy who's a top 10 wide receiver.
That's the thing. I've been close to trades and all that, but I'm like, I'm just gonna give it another week.
Yeah,
give it another week.
I would keep giving it another week. I think week 5. If he's not figured it out by week 5.
Can I say something, too, that Faraz said early on in that interview or that conversation that kind of made me nervous?
Yes.
Faraz thinks the Panthers are going to do a lot better, I think, offensively than maybe we thought.
Yeah, I think... Okay, so here's... I heard that, too. I think that's just kind of long-term, though.
Okay.
I don't necessarily think that he thinks Andy Dalton's going to throw for 300 yards.
Well, let's talk through it real quick.
Please.
Deontay Johnson is not, I don't know if he's a number one wide receiver in the NFL, but he's good.
He's a quality number two.
Yeah, Adam Thielen is good and all that. Like, we're not saying we're expecting a letdown for the Raiders, but should we expect more from the Panthers a little bit in this one?
Yeah, for sure. I think, like I said earlier, Andy Dalton's floor is higher than Bryce Young's ceiling. Uh-huh. Andy Dalton's gotten hosed by his stint with the Bengals where they couldn't get past the first round.
Yeah.
Andy Dalton's not a bad player. Andy Dalton's been a solid NFL quarterback for it. He's a backup.
He's in the hall of pretty all right quarterbacks.
Yeah, he's fine. Uh-huh. He's replacement level to me. But he's way better than Bryce Young. So, yeah, I think the floor of the Panthers offense gets raised substantially, and I think they're going to be way harder to defend. But at the same time, I think the Raiders defense is pretty good.
Yeah, I'm trying to talk myself through right now. Like, Raiders defense is legit.
I feel good about their defense. So, yeah, the Panthers are going to score more points than they would have with Bryce Young. But I don't think it's going to be it's not like they're adding Patrick Mahomes where you're going, "Oh my god, I don't know how they're going to stop this guy." It's Andy Dalton. Like, he's fine.
Yeah.
He's a good player, but come on.
Shout out Andy Dalton.
Yeah, man, he's
successful
had a
NFL career.
Really excellent career. So many guys would kill to have Andy Dalton's career.
Yeah.
And he's better than Bryce Young.
I low-key can't Panthers believe he's still in the league.
Really?
He feels like a guy that should have been out the league. He's Andy Dalton's old.
He's not that old.
He's got to be
36.
See, that's pretty old, especially like we remember him at TCU and all that.
How old's Andy? 36 years old. Oh, he's about to turn 37. Holy cripes. That's not that surprising, though. Backup quarterback, Mark Brunell was around forever. Vinny Testaverde was around forever.
That's true.
You can have a long-ass career if you just accept yourself as a backup.
Where does Andy Dalton fall amongst the lines of the Vinny Testaverdes? Is it the Michael Jordan of Vinny Testaverdes?
Nah, I got to think about this. We got to go to break. All right. I'm going to think about that, though. That's going to be a fun one.
That's solid. Happy
Friday. What was the one you had yesterday?
Oh, I forgot, but I feel like it was a good one.
I didn't think it was good. I disagree.
No, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't shut it down before. You don't even remember it. You don't even know.
I remember disagreeing with
you. Oh, you don't even know. Go to break.
All right. We're going to do that. We're going to go to break. Caller, I see you on the line. We will get to you coming up after the break. When we come back, we'll dive into week 3 of the NFL, and the 49ers need a new running back. I'll explain next. That's Jesse Tapia. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're the Insiders, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 at Sacramento Sports Center.